Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Welcome to the 42nd episode of the Golf Podcast. I'm Frank, and as always, I have Mike here with me. Actually, Mike, back from vacation, how was it?
Vacation was great. Got to play a lot of golf, had sunny weather almost every single day. Kept the swing intact, had fun with the family, and it's sad to be back, but, you know, I'm actually back at playing more golf, you know, so I'm keeping it going, Frank. Playing pretty good, and I'm keeping it going.
You know it's a good thing when you're playing more golf when you're not on vacation.
I know, it's sad, and I hate to admit it, you know, I don't want people to start getting angry with me, but, you know, I have the time to get the practice in, and I've been playing a lot and doing a lot of the stuff we've been talking about, and I'm excited to talk about this topic today, because it's kind of, you know, feeds off what I've been working on and how I've gotten better, you know. So, you know, all around good times down there, down at the beach, and, you know, happy to be back.
That's great. Yeah. So last week we had golf psychologist Dan Abrahams on the show. He's the author of Golf Tough. That was an excellent interview. Picked up a lot of great tips. I always like talking to different golf instructors, golf authors, people like that, just getting these extra perspectives. It's just like something that I enjoy absorbing, just getting different ideas from different people and what these guys are teaching their students, and we try to get as much as we can from it. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back, check it out. Go to golficity.com/episode 41 to listen to that. Now this week we've got a really special treat. So how about this? We're going to talk about how to shave strokes, get this, without changing your swing. So what if I told you, you know, here's something really interesting. What if I told you that I could show you a way to lower your scores without improving your swing one bit, guaranteed? You know, now if I say something like that, what's the first thing you think? Like, what's the catch? What is this? Some sort of like late night infomercial that we've got going here? This sounds crazy. You know, we spend so much time talking about our swing. And now you're telling me I can score better without improving my swing. Well, it may sound gimmicky, but I can assure you what we're going to talk about here is not. Actually, in fact, this is a concept that the pros use all the time. And here is the catch. I will tell you there is a catch. It's that it's not easy. You know, everything we're going to talk about requires quite a bit of self-discipline. The good side of that is that anyone can do it. As long as you can commit yourself to it, you change the way you think about the game, you're going to be able to do this. But that said, it's not easy, and we're going to go into exactly why. But what we're talking about here is proper golf course management. Now, golf course management is just a common term that is used for it, but it's really just a fancy name for making smart decisions as you work your way around the course. You know, whether it's picking the right club for a certain shot or picking a safe target line to keep your ball out of harm's way. And this is really what starts to separate the really good players from just the, you know, everyday hackers. You know, how many of us, we've all experienced it, we're frustrated, we say, that was a stupid mistake, I shouldn't have hit this shot, or I took a chance there I didn't need to take. So what we're going to talk about here is ways to kind of eliminate that additional risk and just try to give yourself much better positions to score. And as I said, I can guarantee if you go and you really do this, and I'm telling you right now, it's not easy. There are going to be so many times when you're tempted to kind of sway away from this, and I'll talk about a few examples of that in a minute. But if you really stick it out, you're going to score better. I was testing it a little bit myself. I was out there playing today. Mike, unfortunately, I had the opposite experience of you in that I haven't been out there playing. July was a tough month for me with travel and the baby and work, and I just only got out of there on a course maybe 2-3 times, and you know, I'm sad to say. But I went out there today, played. It took me about 12 holes just to shake the rust off, so to speak. Just slicing the ball and things like that. And the good part about it, we talked way back, and we've actually mentioned it sprinkled here and there through all the episodes about the importance of, you know, taking those lessons from a pro every once in a while and things like that. And what I realized, you know, about on the 12th hole, I started to really realize the reason I was slicing was I was pulling my hands in because I wasn't clearing my hips. It's something that goes back to an old lesson I took. And once I fixed that, you know, boom, I snapped back. I came back with, I think, I was one over through the last five holes with a birdie on a par five. So I was happy, you know, still struggling a little bit, but me, for my money, I'll take, you know, playing well at the end of the round, you know, fixing what I had going versus those days where you start off well and then you play bad towards the end. So I'll take that, but it was a little bit of a struggle while I was out there.
Yeah, you know, that's actually pretty good that you were able to get, you know, back on the train a little bit. I mean, do you think that your next round you'll be able to pick right up there, or you think you're going to fall back?
You know, I really hope so. And honestly, it's one of those things that I wish I had a little bit more time. I tend to play like, you know, skip out of the office and try to get a quick round in. And if I had just a little bit more time to hit the range and, you know, the value of that, it's why you see the pros doing it. Obviously, for them, a lot of money's on the line, but they have a specific routine. They do their, you know, everything from chipping, putting, and hitting the range before they go out there. Because it would have been one of those things, even if I could hit 25 balls out on the range, I probably could have adjusted before I went out there,
right,
rather than trying to adjust as we go. But that's just one of the, we talk about all the time, look, we're amateur golfers. That's one of the struggles that we're all faced with. So it is good. And it's one of those things, it's good to know when things you can have and you can refer back to and things you can think about so you can always be adjusting when you get out there. But again, I want to kind of preface by saying what we're going to talk about in today's topic is kind of the opposite of that. So let's dive right into it. Let's start talking about proper golf course management. Now, I mentioned before with the real way we like to define that is out there just making some smart decisions, you know, having a game plan for the way that you work yourself around the course and making sure you keep yourself out of harm's way. And the reason why I'm jumping right into this is because the first step, you know, we're going to go through all the different steps that you need to do in order to really get the most out of this method. But the first step is, you know, when you want to really commit to improving your game through golf course management, the first step is to quit working on your swing for a while. I know that sounds crazy. It goes against like what I'm saying right now is what I was saying is I was working through my swing while I was out there. But the real idea here is we want you to focus on one thing at a time. There's going to be plenty of time to work on your swing, you know, in future rounds and different times. But when you actually resign yourself to saying, I'm going to commit to this, to improving this strategy, put that aside for a moment. We want to remove those variables. I don't want you out there thinking about all the different things having to do with your swing and trying to think about proper golf course management. The idea, the real idea behind proper golf course management is crafting the way you play the course to fit your current game. Not a game that's adapting, not a game that's changing, to fit your current game. Now, you know, following along the tips we're talking about every week and going out there and practicing, ideally, your game is consistently getting better. So you're going to be always adapting your game because you're going to get better at certain shots. And there's going to be shots that you can make in the future that you can't make right now. You know, the place to practice those shots is on the range, you know, where, so to speak, it's not, you know, all on the line when you're out on the course. But while you're out there learning this, we want you just to set that aside. Now, this, it might seem like, you know, something to say, okay, I can set that aside, but it, you know, take it to heart. It's a little bit more difficult than it sounds. And this is one of those areas where I say discipline comes in. Many golfers, a lot of amateurs especially, just working on their swing is a continual process. It never really stops. It's one of those things you don't even realize sometimes you're doing it. But again, we want to just focus on the golf course management. We want to take our mind of that out of that swing fix mode and more putting into trusting, you know, your technique and the way you go about the game. Okay. So that's a very important thing. Keep reminding yourself of that when you do, you know, work your way through this. So the second thing is, now that you know you're just going to go out there and play, you know, your game, is to do what you do best. You want to make sure that you hit the shots you know how to hit, not the shots that you wish you knew how to hit. So Mike, we all knew this. How many times have you been faced with that where you're saying, all right, my tee shot went a little bit off to the right. The hole kind of curves around, but there's a tree line, and then it's kind of protected where the green is. Now, if I can hit a really nice high fade and fade it around that tree line and land it on the green, then I'm good to go, right? We've all done that, right?
Right, of course.
You're thinking, look, that's the shot I want to hit. Now, let's talk about whether or not you can actually make that shot. Now, for me, honestly, I don't play a fade that well. I play a draw much better. I've done it And the few times when I've hit that shot exactly right, trust me, it feels great. You know, I'm, you know, flying high for the next hole or two. But I can tell you right now, and this is where we talked about even in our interview last week and many previous episodes of kind of knowing your statistics, knowing your game. I know truly me trying to make that shot, I might make it 3 out of 10 times. The other 7 times, it's going to be something else, whether it nicks one of the trees in the tree line, goes out of bounds, or whether it's something that I try to, you know, fade it, but I end up with a slice instead. I do a little bit too much, or I end up muffing the ball because I'm thinking too much about trying to adapt my swing for the slice. The reality is I know that I have about a 30% chance of making that. Now, if you really think about the importance of scoring, that's not the type of odds you necessarily want to take. Let's think about instead, you know, doing what you do best. I know that I can play a low punch shot pretty well. I know that I can make that shot. I'm comfortable with it. I can hit that maybe, let's say, 8 out of 10 times. Now, knowing that, you know, what's the harm instead of trying to make that shot that you can only make a few times? What's the harm instead of playing that the low, you know, punch shot? Now, this is just an example. You may play other shots better than others, but I want to give you an idea of what I mean here. A low punch shot that I can make 80% of the time and get close enough to the green where I know that I can chip and putt, instead of saying I'm going to gamble it on that long thing. So what really important thing to know here is really knowing your game, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses. And a really good way that this was put in the article, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes, so I encourage you to read it. But a really great way to think about it when you go out there and you attack the golf course is think of yourself almost like how a quarterback goes out there and looks over the defense before running a play. Now, if you're a golfer, you're looking out there and you're saying, all right, the bunkers, the water hazards, slopes, trees, et cetera, they're all defenders that are trying to stop you from shooting a good score. Now, it's your job to beat that defense with a solid game plan. So a solid game plan can mean not taking undue risks, knowing shots that you can make, shots that you can't. You know, it's no different than throwing, you know, going out there if you're a quarterback, are you going to throw the big, you know, Hail Mary down, you know, down the center every time because you figure, you know, your guy catches it 10% of the time? No, you know, you're going to come up with a game plan that you craft you the best, but against the defense that's set up. So this is a really important concept. It's probably the biggest fundamental to this whole thing that we're going to talk about, but really knowing and know what you do best and go out there and do it. And listen, I don't want this to be discouragement for saying, look, I want to be able to try to hit those shots that I wish I knew how to hit. That's fine. That's all about, you know, that's what we talk about every week about improving. But the place really for that is out on the range. You know, we talk about many times about having focused practice sessions. If you really want to be able to hit that high fade shot for those situations, then I'll tell you what, when you're next time you're at the range, put the driver away, forget all the other stuff, grab, you know, a 6-5 iron, something like that, take an entire bucket of balls and just work on hitting that fade shot. Once you feel like you're comfortably hitting that, let's say 8 out of 10 times, that shot then goes in your bag. Then it's okay to go out there and try that shot. But if it's a shot that you haven't practiced, you know, it's not, you don't feel comfortable doing, don't take the chance. Because I can tell you right now, hitting that nice, it may not seem like the most glamorous thing to hit that punch shot and then have to chip up and then putt. But if you do that and save par, you're going to be a lot happier with yourself than if you take that risky shot, you're out of bounds, you're coming back, you're hitting where you were hitting it from, and then you're just, you're two shots, two more strokes, and you haven't moved the ball any further. So, Mike, do you agree with me there?
I totally agree. I mean, I find myself in this situation a lot, and I'm glad you brought this point up because I am guilty of it. I mean, you know, I'll find myself maybe off the left side of the fairway, and I need to wrap it. I'm a righty, so I need to wrap it around a tree, and I think back to the 2012 Masters on the second playoff hole when Bubba, you know, put it out from inside the woods and kind of hooked it onto the green. He knows that shot. I don't know that shot. But yet, if I find myself in that situation, I will get aggressive and I will try it. And normally, 95% of the time, it doesn't work. I won't get it to draw. You know, I'll muff it like you said before. All those things will happen to me. So, you know, that's spot on, Frank. I mean, that's great advice. Learn that shot before you put it in your bag. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and the fact that you've been in that experience, I think everyone can say that they have. Everyone's done that. And it's true. It's the reality. When you watch the pros on the weekend, look, those guys have been playing almost every day of their life for you know, 15, 20 years, they've practiced those shots. They know when they can hit them and when they can't. Now, before we go any further, I want to just stop right here and just preface by saying, if you're one of those people who are listening and saying, oh, well, this is no fun, this takes the fun out of the game, I go out there because I like to try to hit those really, you know, one in a million type of shots, because when I do hit it, I feel so great about my game. Look, if that is completely fine, that's your choice. If you want to play it that way, I completely understand. You know, everybody gets different things out of the game. We talk about how the game is, it has to be fun for you and do what is the most fun for you. But in those types of cases, you can't kick yourself when you start to say, oh, why did I not make that shot? You need to be smarter about your game plan. You need to know the shots that you can make and the shots that you can't, and play to your strengths. So if your strengths are not yet being able to make that shot, don't. And trust me, you may feel like, oh, I feel like I'm taking the short route around this. But when you write that par down on that card, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself than when you're kicking yourself for that triple bogey because you went out of bounds. So it's very important to do. The next thing that we want to cover is the idea of building a conservative plan. Okay. Many golfers out there choose to use a more aggressive golf course management strategy simply because, as I said here, it sounds like more fun. And you know what? Aggressive shots are a lot of fun when they work. When they don't, you're the first guy kicking yourself. So if you've got a shot where you say, let's say it's a par five and it wraps around the water, and you say, look, I can try to be putting for birdie by carrying the water and, you know, trying to land it. And let's say maybe it's a 200 yard shot that it's all carry and you've got to land it on the green. I just had a hole like that I played like this today. Well, again, knowing shots you can hit, knowing shots you can't, the chances for any golfer, really, the chances of being able to hit a long wood, fly it, carry it to the green, and then stick it to a green is going to be a lot harder than playing there in two and playing that for par, going around the water, whatever it may be. So again, there's a lot of ways that you can kind of just be smart about it and take a smarter, you know, different approach. And then that way you can have a lot less damage on your scorecard. And this is even for some of our more advanced golfers who may say they are able to make those shots. You still want to put together a good game plan for your round. You want to look at and pick your spots. There are going to be different spots that are going to create secondary shots that may be more difficult. So for instance, maybe if you wanted to, you know, if it's a dog leg and you realize that if you drive the ball too far, you're actually going to be blocked out by the trees, you're not going to have a shot in, there's where you got to be smart. Maybe hit like a mid iron off the tee or something like that, so that you can have a look into the green going to the next one. But again, what this all comes down to is that golf course management. Really what you want to do is you want to have a plan in place where you're managing the golf course, the golf course isn't managing you. You know, we all feel that, where we feel like we're playing catch up. We feel like we have to, like, you know, scramble because the golf course is beating us up out there. Don't let that happen. Go in with a plan, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this tip alone easily shaves a few strokes off your game, without a doubt. It has for me recently. And I'll tell you a very, very quick story. Last week, I went out and played 18 with an 85-year-old guy, and he's almost three times my age. This guy shot 88, phenomenal golfer. And after the first hole, when I didn't hit the green in regulation, he didn't say anything to me. But after the second hole, I also missed that green. He stopped me and he said, hey, Mike, let me ask you a question. Are you aiming for the pin or are you aiming for the green? And it, you know, made me think, because subconsciously you're always thinking, you know, I want to go for that pin. Even though it's tucked behind a bunker, I want to get it close. I want to make birdie. I want to be minus two after three holes or whatever the case may be. But when I heard him say that, the next, you know, 16 holes, all I did was focus on hitting the green and not going for the pin. And Frank, I got to be honest with you, I hit more greens in regulation. Even some of my putts might have been longer than they would if I got aggressive, but I was still two putting because I was on the surface. And, you know, just that simple tip really helped me play more conservative golf and kind of manage my game a little bit better. And I do it every single time I go out, par three, par four, par five, whatever the case may be. That simple tip has helped.
It's so true. And a way that, if you ever want to kind of, as I said, this requires a lot of discipline, because I guarantee it, you're going to be out there, you're going to be standing over the ball, and you're going to want to play that really aggressive shot. But if you want to have a way that you can kind of force yourself into this discipline, try playing the six club golf game. You know, we have that on the site. And what that is, for anybody who hasn't seen that article yet, and this is something that, again, goes way back. An old golf coach taught me this. Very simply, only bring six clubs out there on the course with you. You can even do less. I've seen people do this with less. In fact, my father told me he was out playing just after work one day. He only brought his 7-iron, his pitching wedge, and his putter. And he still managed to par, I think he said, 3 out of the first 5 holes, because it forces you to play conservative. I mean, think about, even if we were to talk about in the six club golf game, you can pick any six clubs and just go out there and play with just those. You're eliminating options. It's forcing you to be more conservative. I like specifically eliminating things like the longer clubs, like the driver, so you can kind of get an idea. But take even a 500 yard par 5 or something like that, right? Now, let's say you can hit your 8-iron 150 yards. Well, boom, 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 8-iron off the tee, 8-iron, 8-iron, you're already reaching the green in 3, right? I mean, we don't think of par 5s like that. It seems crazy to us. We're saying, all right, well, you're telling me with just hitting my 8-iron 3 times, I can be on a putting for a birdie on a par 5? It's not glamorous. You're the guy who's hitting just 150 yards at a time, 160 yards at a time. But I guarantee your ratio of being able to make that shot is a lot higher than making your driver. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I am not advocating putting away all your clubs and doing that. I'm actually the opposite, because I think you should learn to hit all your clubs. I'm just trying to prove a point here about how that would be, to me, that would be going ultra conservative. I'm not saying that. I'm saying pick a plan that eliminates a strong amount of risk from your game, stays conservative, but still allows you to play the game and be able to score. But I wanted you to show you that. And one time, as I said, go out there and do it and force yourself to do it, just because it'll force that discipline upon you and it will change your perspective. So, moving on to the next, actually, two tips that we have for you. Both of them, I'm glad Mike mentioned playing into the pin and playing into the green, because both these have to do with that. And the first one is harnessing the power of uphill. Okay, once, and think of it like this: once you are inside about 50 yards or so from the green, ideally you want to be playing uphill as often as possible. So this is a new way of kind of thinking about it. Instead of thinking, where's the pin, and we're just always going for the pin, pin 50 yards out, I hit this club, 3-quarter swing with this club, hits it 50 yards, that's what I'm going to hit, and that's it. No. What you need to think is, understanding, again, percentages and shots made and things like that, anytime you're playing uphill, you can play much more aggressively and you have a much better chance of making chips, making putts, all those things. It's a much higher margin for error playing up a slope. The opposite, obviously, being playing to a slope that's away from you, sloping down. Because as if anyone here, anyone's listening who knows, if they've chipped to a hole that's sloping away from you, if you've putt to a hole that's sloping away from you, you know that can be nerve-wracking, because it can very easily slide past the hole and end up with 2 more strokes. So playing uphill is much easier. So this is something to think about when you're approaching the pin from different angles and things like that. Always be mindful of that. Take a look at the green. See which way it slopes, and then try to end up on the low side of that slope. Okay. So I played a hole today that it's a notorious green for sloping away from you. And I know that very often, even if I hit the front of that green, it has a very good chance of rolling all the way off the back, if I hit it with a mid iron. So instead, what I say is, I'm going to take 1 club length less. I'm going to actually land in front of the green and let it roll up to the green. That way I know that I can still be playing to it, and I don't have to worry so much about, that slope. So it's always something to keep in mind. And the other one is avoiding the dreaded short side. Okay. So if you haven't heard that term before, the short side is the short side of the green. It's the side of the green where the pin is tucked. So for instance, let's say the pin is on the right side of the green, moving from center, the pin is on the right side. That shortens the right side of the green. There's less green over there, I should say, versus the other side. The short side is always going to give you problems, because if you happen to miss the green, let's say you're just off in the bunker or you're chipping on, you're not going to have a lot of green to work with there. Okay, so it doesn't give you, again, we talk about that margin for error. You don't get a lot of margin for error when you're on the short side. So like Mike was saying, he's just playing to the center of the green and then working from there and stuff like that. That gives you a much better chance of being able to improve that short game and make more putts, make more chips. So if you see a green where you see the pin is tucked to the right, play not to the short side, play to the other side, play to the middle of the green, something like that, that gives yourself a little bit more chance. Because if you do happen to miss, you've got a lot more green to work with on your chip or your sand shot. And that's going to make you be able to be more aggressive. You're going to be able to go after the hole and you're going to be able to make a lot more shots. So, Mike, that plays right into what you were saying about going for the center of the green.
Yeah, that's exactly the point that I was trying to make. And, you know, I never thought about the short side of the green either. I mean, that's another phenomenal tip that I'm going to think about. Even I'm playing tomorrow, so I'm gonna check that one out. I never actually, you know, thought about, you know, if I do make the mistake, Frank, what side do I want to be on? You know, it kind of, it goes along the lines of just trying to go for the center of the green as well. So,
right. And there's so many more, you know, things. And I want to mention this before I forget, before we get into the last of the steps that we covered in the article. There's so much more that you can dive into about this golf course management. We're trying to touch on the basics to get you just kind of thinking that way. But there are so many more things there. When you talk about the pros, even the pros are playing this at a certain level. You know, they're always coming up with a game plan. They're working it out with their caddies. But, you know, a very good, for instance, would be, let's say you have a dog leg left that the entire dog leg is lined with water and the green is tucked up, you know, all the way in the back of the left. Well, what a lot of pros will do, instead of going a straight line over the water to the pin, instead what they'll do is they'll play more of a, you know, they'll take a line towards the right side of the green and play a fade, so that the majority of the time when their ball is carrying, it's not carrying over water. It's carrying over the land. So if they happen to hit it short, if they happen to not mishit it, they give themselves a much better chance of not going in that water. So there's so many different types of things. But this is the last one that I wanted to kind of save the best for last, because this is something that I can't tell you how long I struggle with. I still struggle with this. I mean, especially these things. And when I talk about the discipline that this requires, all these types of steps requires, where this really comes in for me is if I've had a couple bad holes, if I'm not scoring well, and I feel like I need to make up the difference in my score, I start getting very aggressive and I start to kind of let my game slide in that way. I kind of let that game plan go out the window and I get more and more and more aggressive. So that's when you really need to take a step back and set a reminder for yourself, no matter what it may be. You know, if you use a scorecard or whatever, maybe you want to write on there something that reminds you not to get overly aggressive and just to play like a very mindful, just course strategy. But I'll give you a, for instance, let's say you're on a par five, long par five, right? You hit a drive and now you're about 270 yards out from the green. Okay, maybe not only are you 270 yards out, maybe you're just off the fairway in kind of that first cut of rough. So you don't have a terrible lie, but you also don't have a perfect lie. Now you're 270 yards out. And that's a distance that, you know, 99 times out of 100, you can't reach even with your best 3-wood. Let's say that's your longest club in the bag that you can use in this situation. Now, here's the problem with that. So many golfers will say, well, it's 270 yards out. My biggest club, I have a 3-wood that I hit 250, so I'm just going to hit that. Because they're not thinking two shots ahead. What they're just thinking is, with each shot, I'm going to cover as much distance as I can. Okay? Now, here's the problem with that way of thinking. A long shot, you know, with a 3-wood from the rough, is a lot of room for error there. A lot of room for error. First of all, anytime you're dealing with a longer club, anytime you're dealing with a flatter club face, things like that, there's a lot more of a chance to generate that side spin where you can end up with a hook, a slice, and whatever. And I really don't need to dive into this, because pretty much anybody who's playing knows that hitting their 3-wood is going to be a tougher shot for them than hitting, let's say, an 8-iron, something like that. Okay, so you already know that. You know you're taking a kind of a risky shot. You know you can't reach. So let's think about this in a slightly different method. Rather than always thinking, I'm going to cover as much ground as I can and just pound the ball, and then I'll deal with the next shot after that. Think about it like this. Let's say now you can hit, you know, you feel like let's think about it backwards. This is what I mean by thinking about it backwards. I'm looking at that green. I'm 270 yards away from the green. I'm looking at that green and I'm saying, you know, I'm very comfortable with a distance of about 125 yards. I know 125 yards is the perfect distance for a full swing with my pitching wedge. I know that if I can hit that shot from the fairway with my pitching wedge, I'm very comfortable getting it close to the pin. I can do it almost every time. That's a high percentage shot for me. So now my goal is not reaching the green. My goal is just being 125 yards out. Well, at 270, how much ground do I need to cover to make it to that shot? Just 145 yards. So now thinking about this, because I thought about it backwards, instead of saying I'm going to just try to cover as much as 270, I'm saying all I need to do is make a 145-yard shot to set myself up for that nice 125 shot into the green. And then I'll be putting for birdie because I'll be on the green in three on a par five. So for me, 145 from the light rough, I could hit a nice, easy 8-iron. I could, if I want to gear up a little bit, I can hit a 9-iron, depending on what I want to do. Now, this may seem crazy. This is the spot where really, as I said, the discipline is going to come in, especially if you're not used to playing, you know, real golf course management. You may say, wait a minute, I'm hitting my second shot on a par five and I'm hitting an 8 or 9-iron. Well, it's true. Think about it. If you can, what would you say is your percentage that you'd be able to hit that shot well? 145 yards from the light rough. Mike, you feel like that's something you'd be really comfortable with?
Absolutely. 7 to 8 times out of 10, probably.
Exactly. Versus that long 3-wood. How many times would you think you'd be able to hit that 3-wood shot clean and nice?
Not that high. You know, that's, yeah, definitely not that high.
Right. So now if we're looking at it, we know we're not going to reach anywhere with our 3-wood. We're going to have to play a second shot. I'm going to argue this point. What is the benefit of trying to do that? You know, even if you hit your 3-wood, let's say you hit it 250, right? You're still leaving yourself 20 yards out and you're going to have to do some sort of pitch and run or something like that. So you're going to have to hit another shot in towards that green. So now I'm going to say, instead of playing those percentages where I can have a lot of problems, you know, a lot of things that can come in, I'm going to instead play two shots that I'm extremely comfortable with. I know I can make them about 9 times out of 10, and I'm going to stay out of trouble. And the ending result is that I'm going to still be putting for birdie. So it's a great way to think about it. I know, as I said, I'm covering a lot here. We also, in the actual article on Golfist, we embedded a video there, of a pro that we found who was explaining it on YouTube. He explains it really well. But again, this is what pros are doing. It may sound crazy, but this is what it is. Golf is a game. They say golf is a thinking man's game. You hear that all the time. But a lot of us are out there and we're not using our heads. We got to use our heads. You got to play the percentages. You got to play the shots that work for you. Again, if it's very important to you to be able to blast that 3-wood, then you know what? Take that as part of your game, go to the range with your 3-wood and hit that until you're as comfortable hitting that 3-wood as you would be hitting that 8 or 9-iron from the rough. When you feel equally as comfortable, then I say by all means hit it. But until you are, play what suits your game. Again, I can't say this, you know, enough. Hit the shots you know how to hit, not the shots you wish you knew how to hit. And you'll end up doing, if you can go through all the steps we said here, the next round, commit to it. Don't sway from it, because if you do, that's going to be that time when you hit it in the woods and you kick yourself. Do this, and I can guarantee you're going to play better. You're going to score better. And then each time, set it as a goal for yourself to be able to, you know, work on the shots that you want to be able to hit. Add those to your arsenal. Go out there and make those your high percentage shots. And that's where we start to talk about the real progress towards lowering your handicap and becoming a scratch golfer. So I know we covered a lot today. Mike, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, the last point was great because you nailed the exact reason why I hit the hybrid off the tee and not the driver, because I'd rather, you know, I'll take the 150 shot in right from the middle of the fairway versus the 100-yard shot hopefully on the fairway, but most likely not. So great points all around from 1 through 6, Frank.
Yeah. So you know what? I really want on this one, because we've kind of invested a lot of time and energy into this, because Mike and I have been working on this because it's really been helping our game. So I want to get some feedback on this. I want to hear some instances, some you know, examples of you out there, all the listeners who are trying this out, and how's it working for you. And there's so many different ways. We're talking right here now, we're talking about creating game plans. We talked about six very important steps, but there are so many more, as I said. So I want to hear the feedback of what you think, what you're trying, what ways you've adapted your game, and that you've been able to improve upon it. There are a lot of ways of getting in contact with us and letting us know. You can leave a comment on Golficity on the article or on the podcast. You can also tweet us at Golficity. Send us a message on our Facebook page. Just search Golficity on Facebook. Or if you, you know, don't want to share it publicly and just want to send us something, you know, one-on-one, email us. Send us an email at podcast@golficity.com. That comes to both of us. And for all of you Golficity premium members out there, make sure you check in on the clubhouse on Golficity. We've got a great forum there. Hop in. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about the tips we talked about. Have you tried them? How's it working for you? And we want to kind of track that progress. And then maybe in some future episodes, we can refer back to that and see how different listeners and different premium members are doing with that. So definitely check that out. Go out there. Enjoy it. We still got a lot of great summer left. Plenty of time to go out there and practice it. And look, this is one of those things that you can even do from home. If there's a regular course you're playing, you know, take a little time, sit down and think about the course, you know, even if you have a yardage book or something, and just kind of look at the layout. Think back at some of the shots that you've made and some of the areas you've gotten in trouble. Maybe it is, as I said, as an example, those long par fives of going for it in two and, you know, not quite making it and ending up in a hazard or something like that. And look and say, well, if I had played that differently, if I had played that the way we're talking about here, we're playing, you know, thinking two shots ahead, how would I maybe have been able to improve upon that? And think about it and then go out there and attack it with that same idea next time you're out there. So again, appreciate everyone tuning in. We appreciate all the great reviews on iTunes. If you haven't had a chance and haven't taken a second to leave a review for us on iTunes, I would, really appreciate it if you did. It's a great way that we use to spread the word about the podcast. And we know a lot of people have kind of messaged us and let us know that they found out about us through the reviews that are on there. So if you, don't mind, take a second, leave us a review on iTunes. That would be very helpful. And like I said, contact us, all the different ways I mentioned, and let us know, how you're doing with this. Mike, you have anything else?
Nope. Keep hitting them straight, and I guess we'll see you next week.
Sounds great. Yep. All right. We will be back again next week, and we'll talk to you then.